Thank you for listening to the Getting My Act Together podcast. It's Friday, December 4th, 2020. I hope you are at the end of your week, and I hope you had a good week. I hope they did not grind you down this week, and you've maintained some of your sanity, and you have a great weekend. I care about you. I honestly, it's always sketchy when someone says honestly. No, seriously, I'm a pretty honest guy. I thought about this, though. I care about you more than most people you know. I don't probably care about you more than your people who love you and your closest friends, but I care about you significantly, each and every listener of this podcast, because you're doing a thing to me that signals you value me. You're giving me your time. And there might be no greater way to show someone that you value them by giving them your time. That's why I told you on a previous episode that I practically broke down when somebody at a coffee shop asked me how my day was going. Like, me? How is this regional manager season? How am I doing? So you choose to give me your time. That's all you have is your time, and I'm very grateful for that. And truth be told, if there were two people standing next to each other on fire and I knew that one of them listened to the podcast, I would be more likely to put you out, if you wanted your fire to go out. If you were doing it like in protest and you're like, dude, stay away from putting out my fire. I want to burn to death to make a statement, like a monk. I would try to help both people, obviously, but I'd be more inclined to help the person who listens to my podcast because they are giving me something, and I want to adhere to the norm of reciprocity. If you listen to me, I, if given the opportunity, will do a deed for you. And you're like, well, then make a fucking entertaining podcast. That's the best way you can reciprocate us giving you your time. It's true though. I care about you. I value the people that listen to this program. And if you are on fire and wanted to be put out, I would probably put you out before I put the next person out. But I got a pretty big extinguisher, so. I've heard people say that, are you going to jump right into the suicide? It's just where my brain took me. It is, yes, you can make the statement, it's a very selfish act to commit suicide. A personal one, but probably pretty selfish. I think you also could make the case that the only thing more selfish than that is stopping someone from killing themselves. Is this Good Morning Friday? AM sunshine. Have a great weekend, everybody. Just in case I didn't want to take you or me into this place. I'm just saying, if someone's got some well-articulated reasons for pulling the cord, maybe butt the fuck out of it. Well, I love you so much. Well, I don't love it back. I'm totally debating, should I just press stop and start over, which I rarely do. I rarely do because that's inauthentic. I hope you've had a great week. I'm going to not talk about suicide, and I do value you, so thank you for listening to the podcast. Thank you for slowly but surely contacting me about the podcast content with comments, with observations. Last time I was it wasn't a letter, it was reading the email that a listener sent in about watches and social media, breaking up with social media. I'm now 2 weeks off of Instagram and Facebook, and I honestly don't miss it. There it is again. Honestly, I'm a real honest guy. You know that about me. I'm Mormon. I'm really honest. I am responsive to your notes and your thoughts, but last time I was reading the email from a listener about breaking up with social media, which I really am 100% neutral about. It's as if I didn't have it. if I were to think about it, I miss seeing faces that make me feel good. Like I miss seeing, and this really applies just to Instagram, when I would open it daily, every 2 days, and would look at and see who, you know, at the top where it has the stories. I didn't scroll Instagram. I never wanted to be to just do that. It's my choice. If you do it, I don't think I'm better than you at that. There are many other things, though, that I probably am better at and worse at than you. Remember, we have to be very specific when we talk about, when we say I'm better than you or you think you're better than me, what exactly is the behavior or attribute we're talking about? But that's the only thing I miss, is I would see the stories up at the top and be like, oh, hey, that person's face makes me feel warm, makes me feel good. I like them. I'm going to click and see their story. And, you know, sometimes it was worth it. Other times it's not, probably like all of my stories. But that's all I miss, is seeing the friendly faces. Other than that, total neutral. Twitter, a garbage pile, and actually deleted it. I'm trying to decide if I need Facebook. Well, and at this point, what I've concluded is I would only be deleting it just to say I deleted Facebook. Big deal. I've already deleted using it for 2 weeks, so why do I need to eliminate the whole platform? Because there are people that only know me through Facebook and would get in touch with me that way. So I don't think I need to truncate that. Or maybe I do. I don't know. But there are people that would be like, hey, do you know so-and-so and so-and-so city? And then they'd be like, yeah, I'll message you. And I'm like, oh, I'm not on Facebook. Like, oh, well, give me your number. I'm like, well, I don't want to do that because I'm old and creepy and don't like to give out my phone number. Also, you know how Wikipedia does their whatever it is, quarterly? I'm gonna try to come back to the fact that someone wrote in and tried to have a dialogue with the podcast. But you know how Wikipedia does that? Hey, listeners or viewers, readers, whatever you are in the United States, would you please stop and take a moment and donate? If everybody just stopped and gave. And every time I see that, I think, yeah, everybody should give Wikipedia money because it's an amazing thing. Yes, it's not 100% accurate, but at least it gets you in the ballpark. And if you're a critical thinker, which I know people who listen to this podcast are, it's great. You can be like, yeah, that sounds cool. That makes sense. Good. That's horseshit. This must be written by somebody's PR company. But people who don't listen to this podcast, they're not all critical thinkers. So I understand how Wikipedia could be a little dangerous. But it's a pretty amazing thing, Wikipedia. And I would give money, and I've tried to give money, and I get all the way down to the click submit. And it's too much of an information grab. Wikipedia, you could get my money if you put it on Venmo. A whole population of people over the age of 40 would be like, you know what? I will give to these whoever runs Wikipedia, Halliburton. I will give them money because it's an amazing service, but you get to the end, and it's like, you need my name, you need my email address, you need my... I need one less place to... And everybody who's listening under the age of 30 is just, all right, old man. Get off. Tell them to get off your lawn while you're there. I would give to Wikipedia in a second. But just make it easier. Venmo. If you put Venmo on their Wikipedia, I'll give you my money. The reason I was in Wikipedia, and the reason that this connects somehow, hopefully, to the email that someone sent in, is that I was, last time we spoke, which was on, I think, Monday, I mentioned the person who wrote into the podcast was saying how it was great that I'd broken up with social media, and he also had broken up with social media and Amazon, and I guess doesn't watch Apple TV or whatever anymore. We're just generally shooting the shit, talking about cutting the cord and reducing technology's intrusion upon our lives. And then he veered into a place where he was talking about, in the letter, how watches are... He thought a nice expensive watch was not, you know, he wasn't supportive of those. And I was, you know, like, fair enough, I get that. I could see how if you have a big expensive watch, like, dude, that's a waste of money. Why don't you give that money to Why don't you give that money to someone else who needs it more than you do? If you're spending $5,000, $10,000, $70,000, $200,000 on a watch, why don't you do more with that money? And certainly the younger man in me would say that first and foremost. But now the older man in me is like, he's trying to get laid. No, the older man in me is like, maybe he did take $20,000 and give it to someone else, and then he bought a $20,000 watch. Can he do that? Maybe he gave $500,000 away. Truth be told, he probably didn't, and he is a selfish prick who should do more for other people. But I do at least entertain that thought. When people have nice things, like the younger man in me reflexively would be like, dude, a car that cost that much money, what a waste, you should totally... And you should. You should distribute wealth. I believe in wealth distribution. Why not? You have more than you need, than you can use. At some point, it just becomes like a scoreboard thing. Give some of it away. Because a watch is kind of a scoreboard thing. Hey, look. I did pretty well for myself. Check it out. The writer of that letter also mentioned that his money was hard-earned. Which is so... Republican. I love it. It was my conclusion reading that is my money's hard earned. So unlike you, you fucking lazy bastard, your money is handed to you. But more Republicans have unhard earned money. More Republicans are heirs and sitting on their ass inheriting money than Democrats. Is that true? I don't know. But I bet if you were to line up the 100 wealthiest families in this country, I don't know, 500 wealthiest families in this country, that means multi-generational wealth passed down to people, right? So, like the Trumps, like, and when I'm saying that, of course, everyone who listens to what I'm talking about, Donald J. Trump, how long did I make it before I mentioned anything political? How long did I make it today? 12 minutes. But when you think of Donald J. Trump, the 45th president of the United States of America, he inherited money, right? And his kids will inherit money, and his kids' kids will inherit money. So that's what I'm talking about, passing down of multi-generational wealth, if there's any left. But his dad certainly had money. What families? Vanderbilts. They had money, have money. I bet if you take the 500, 100, whatever it is, wealthiest families of multi-generational American, United States of American wealth, where there is significant inheritance taking place, I bet, dude, I'm fucking on one right now. I bet that the majority of those families are, quotation marks, conservative and vote Republican. I'm not even going to speculate as to why. I mean, other than the obvious, the financial incentive to do so. And so therefore, I've concluded without much thought that Republican money is not hard earned. That's the easiest earned. It's inheriting. That's the fucking greatest. That's the easiest way to get money is just inherit it. So, I know, the first-time money is the hard-earned money, the self-made Republican. That's the guy who is hard-earned. By the way, the person who wrote the letter, I don't know if they inherited money or will inherit money, but if you inherit money, that's not hard-earned. Let's be honest, if anybody is inheriting money, unless you really put up with someone's bullshit for a long time, it's not hard-earned. The point of this goddamn missive was that the writer was talking about the questionable utility of a nice watch. And I responded by saying, yeah, I don't think $50,000, $10,000, whatever the number is. And you're like, do you have a $7,500 watch? No, fuck. No, I don't have a $7,500 watch. Well, then is it $6,900? No. But I had said, I don't really like those big monster statement watches that kind of you associate with bros. So, you know, I said like a big, like the dude who shaves his arms, right? He comes in the space. That's just not my style, that big watch. And on the last podcast, I said, you know, one of those watches that looks like a big, and then my brain was trying to fill in with something that represented, that I could express through the podcast to you, the listener, the what I could not effectively do is I could not effectively convey to you the idea I had in my head. I was inarticulate in saying, you know, like a big solar dish or a big, and I'm just struggling again, like a big, maybe it is a solar dish. I don't know. Maybe it's a satellite dish. But I was trying to express like a bit of a concave thing that you'd put up on your on top of your house that says DirecTV. And when I see that on your watch, or I see a watch like that, it's off-putting to me. It signals insecurity to me, and that makes me uncomfortable because I know insecurity very well, and I don't trust people who are, I have a harder time trusting people who are insecure because I know their motives are not, their motives first and foremost are selfish. Their motive, and I say this as a career insecurist. If you're insecure, your first motive is to gain security. So it's a self-oriented, dude, what is this? Is this like a, are you going to start, am I trying to start one of those things where everybody dresses in like purple and orange and we go over to Oregon and try to run things that like non-Sheila, a non-Sheila? Much respect, by the way. What was that, Wild Country? I watched, it was too long for my attention span, but is that what I'm trying to do here? No. I'm not at all, but. Also, weren't we hypocrites? All they wanted to do was be hippies and dance around and maybe make sweet love in the afternoon. But all the white people up there were like, nope, get the fuck out of here. Which we've always done in this country. All right, dude, it's so depressing so quickly. The point about the watch is this. I was incapable of making this expressing this image. So I said something like a Puerto Rico satellite dish. People are like, is this related to Trump calling a black guy in outer space? No, because Trump didn't call a black guy in outer space. Reagan called a black guy in outer space, which is still amazing to me. But I mentioned that I thought there was a big piece of equipment that looked like a large watch somewhere in Puerto Rico that communicated with the heavens and was in a James Bond movie. Now, I don't know that I saw the James Bond movie, and perhaps I saw it in a preview of a James Bond movie, but I know that it's a thing. And that's what I was trying to say, that the watch is like one of those big watches. Like you have I can't express it anyway. And the day I said that on this podcast, or the day after, that whole fucking thing in Puerto Rico collapsed. I say it here, and I say you shouldn't have a watch that looks like this. Or you shouldn't have watched. I find them off-putting. The thing collapsed. We had read about that, and it's called the Arecibo. I think it's Arecibo. Arecibo. I'm trying to say it as I imagined you'd say it in Spanish. Arecibo. Arecibo Observatory. Arecibo is a word that sounds like you should try to pronounce correctly, like Arecibo. You shouldn't say Arecibo or Arecibo. Los Angeles, you sound like a douche if you say Los Angeles, if you're not a native speaker. Or guacamole, which is, I think, an American word. Anyway, who gives a shit? But the satellite dish collapsed. Pakistan. Well, yeah, but we grew up saying Pakistan. It's more respectful to say Pakistan, but you also sound like somebody that most people don't want to hang out with if you're affecting Pakistan. Or listeners sitting there going, no, you just sound less racist and insensitive, you white man, which could be the case as well. But isn't that amazing? We had read about the Arecibo Observatory, and this is how I found this is the dude's letter to the Wikipedia asking for money. I had to look it up. I was like, isn't that the thing I just mentioned the other day? Because the news said a 900-ton structure collapsed in Puerto Rico. Like, I think that's the thing. It's called the Arecibo Observatory, and I looked on Wikipedia there. Sure enough, it was. And I'm not going to tell you what I learned about the Wikipedia other than the structural engineers who built that also built the Arch in St. Louis, or designed, built, and Madison Square Garden in New York. That's as far as I read. But that's pretty coincidental. I'm not saying the podcast had anything to do with that. But it shows you, I guess, really to close the loop here. And you might be listening saying, loop, dude. There are a lot of loops, and you're not even going to remember which ones need to be closed. If you engage with the podcast, I guess this is what I'm trying to say. If you send an email like that person did, it will lead me to talk about things that will happen in the future. I think is the best way to say that. Pretty anticlimactic, but that's what happened. I talked about that observatory in Puerto Rico, and then the next day it's gone. And fortunately, no one was injured. A 900-ton structure collapsed, and no one was injured, which is great. Is that going to make someone like, yeah, you know what? I'm definitely going to email the podcast at yesjoesmith@gmail.com and mention something, because you know what? I have an outdoor observatory that I want to fucking crash as well. No, I just thought it'd be worthy to mention that. We have seen the Arecibo Observatory in the news one time. And the one time we saw it in the news was like the same day or a day after I mentioned it here. Mind blown. The Mars family. There, think about that. Like when I was talking about the candy, but the Mount Rushmore of candy bars, I think most of those candies are owned by the secretive Mars family. Sure that they're, I'm not sure, but let's see what their political persuasion is. The heirs to the Mars candy throne, who like run, what do you guys do? Oh, we run chocolate. Oh my God. The ambition. We just, what chocolate? All of it. Like the whole chocolate game? That's us. Like, what do you mean? Like, the chocolate game, we run it. Like, cocoa beans. We do, like, Africa. Shipping. Chocolate. That's us. Well, that's got to be a pretty substantial business with quite a few tentacles. Oh, it is. We eat well. We run chocolate. But I don't know what the Mars family... And can someone point me to a documentary on the Mars family, please? I would love to watch one. I think if you look at the candies they make, the chocolate confection... All right, who gives a shit? But I still do not have... I was hoping that person who sent me that email would have chimed in about the third chocolate item on the Mount Rushmore of candy. I was hoping that they would do that because they sent me a note saying, hey, thanks. I heard you talk about it on the podcast. Really appreciate it. Keep going. Just keep going. And I said, hey, thanks so much. What is the third chocolate item on the Mount Rushmore of chocolate candies? And he said, oh, I must have stopped listening. Well, once you were done talking about me, I turned it off. But if you haven't listened, or you're still wondering what the fuck I'm talking about, previously I established that my Mount Rushmore of chocolate candy is Twix. Twix followed by Nestle's 100, not Nestle, I don't know if it's Nestle or not. It's Twix. And then the $100,000, Mars family owns Twix. Yeah, we'll take Twix too. Twix, we run chocolate. Well, that's got to be quite an imposition on a lot of, I would imagine, poor people. We give them jobs and pay them. What do you pay them? What do you pay those cocoa farmers and the middlemen? Now I need to see a documentary because I'm just going to start talking like an asshole and impugn the good name of the Mars family and complicate eating a Twix bar for myself. If you have an opinion on the third chocolate item from Mount Rushmore, just send me an email. By the way, I don't collect your emails. I'm not creating a list. You're not gonna, for people who are like me, like, fuck you, dude, I want you to have my email address. You're the real one. Send it on a burner account. I have Twix. I have $100,000 bar. What's the third one? As I mentioned last time, a cousin of mine, a candy connoisseur, suggested Rolos would be on that. And I applaud the candy selection, but it was rejected because Rolos are too much of a pain in the ass to open. If it were not 500 little things of foil, yeah, Rolo, we're on board. And now Rolo is probably like, listen, you motherfucker, when was the last time you had a Rolo? I don't know, when I was 12. But Rolo could be saying, dude, open a pack of Rolos and they're all there for you. Because now I'm questioning if they're even individually wrapped. Anyway, Rolo was rejected. Another person communicated to the podcast, and this is someone I know, texted that they heard a past episode where I referenced the great Bret Michaels. And I promise this is not going to be a self-referential podcast. That's not what I want. Hey, but we are a universe. This is what we want. This is what I want. This is why I value you. It's a community. That's really, really SD. That's really, you know what this is? It's like Wild Country. This is a place for people to dress in orange and maroon and do whatever the fuck they want. So that's what this guy did by sending me a note about Bret Michaels. And he said, I remember that show when Bret was like, I tell you what, I am so turned on by these women, I'm about to pop. Bret Michaels about to pop on the show. And then the person who I know communicated that he also remembers seeing, he said, I remember that show that you could see Bret Michaels' wood in his jeans. Oh, Bret Michaels, what a great one. And then he'd go like on a bender with all these women around this pool in this rented house. And then 10 minutes later, he's like, he needs insulin because, oh, by the way, he's a diabetic who also likes to get shit-faced. I've known a few diabetics, and they are not supposed to drink, and they all drank. So we're not all rational beings here. I'm glad one other person in the world watched Bret Michaels say he was about to pop. But what was it called? Rock of Love, I think was the name of the program. So, thank you for communicating. I'm grateful for that. A quick update on my volunteer opportunity. Did I just say I was going to not be self-referential and go right into another self-reference? You know what? You're right. I hear you quietly turning this off and looking for something more entertaining, and I don't blame you. I don't blame you. But after I bottomed out, as you know, because I was tired of big media, big technology. It's not really an intrusion in your life. I have a handyman who's done work for me for like 7 years, and in that time we've maybe spoken 4 words together. And it's a combination of his poor English and my poor Spanish. But somehow we figure out what needs to be done. And the other day, this is no lie, after we talked about it on the podcast, he stands in my front yard and he said, I'm not going to do the accent. Am I going to do the accent? How do you say it? he expressed to me in very broken English. He expressed to me the idea, are you a stand-up, are you a comedian? And I said, how'd you know that? Because we've had zero interactions and nobody, we have zero interactions. And he said, Facebook suggested me as a friend to him. And I was like, well, are you going to fucking send it or what, dude? Anyway, who cares? I had a bottoming out and I tried to turn against big technology and counter program my TV, Amazon. Regular listeners know this. What I tried to do is I tried to tell it things that I really wasn't interested in, so to confuse the algorithm and just this immature bullshit that caused me in the middle of the night to bottom out and say, I need to volunteer. I need to do more for other people. I need to be that guy with a $10,000 watch. I thought you said you didn't. I don't. But I need to be that guy and do more for others. So, as you know, I reached out. I didn't get in touch. I reached out and inquired about a volunteering opportunity that I thought was really cool, and I still am interested in doing it. And I sent them an email saying, I would love to be involved just out of curiosity. Do you have a religious affiliation? Which, like, what a prick. What a prick. And what a hypocrite, because I hate religious imposition in my life. And I hate it. That it's like the thing I hate. I hate injustice, and I hate religious imposition in my life. Well, so then what's the problem, dude? You just want to know if they're religious. And I don't like people asking me I'm happy to tell you I am an atheist, which we need a rebranding on that atheist. So also tell me some suggestions for that. These are things that need to be rebranded because they've, over time, acquired such a pejorative term. The words are just descriptive, but the podcast should not be me just fucking talking. I should be trying to make it funny. We need rebranding of these words because simply the word itself, which is just a description of the thing, has become freighted with such value and judgment and negativity, when really they can be quite neutral and even quite positive. So we need a different word for atheist. We need a different word for abortion. The word's too strong. We need a more neutral word. Same with like nuclear power. It's very environmentally friendly, I've been told by the PR firm that does work for a bunch of nuclear. The Boy Scouts. No, that, we know what that is. That is literally scouting for youth. I don't like, so I what an asshole, though. I am asking this volunteer organization, who cares if you're, does that mean I'm the person who's not going to do good because you play for a different team than I am? Then aren't I doing exactly the thing that I hate? Yeah, I am. It's not just religious imposition. It's exclusion. And that's what I'm doing. That's what I don't like. Religious imposition and religious exclusion. We're religious. Fuck you. We don't have to pay taxes. We make traffic on your street, but we don't have to pay taxes. You eat this. You eat this cost of all this traffic and all these fucking people here. We're not going to pay taxes. They're going to give us our money, and we're not going to pay taxes. But you have to fucking sit in your car and wait for them to do their dumb bullshit. Yeah, I resent that. And that's why, just like you, Christ the King, or whatever church you are, you're socializing your losses, all these cars out on the street. That's why I throw my dog shit into the street and am an asshole. That's not why I'm an asshole. That goes back much further than that. I asked them, do you have a religious affiliation? And you know what they said? And then I sent a second email specifically to a person at the organization saying, hi, I'm very interested in this volunteer position. I should have just stopped there, but what I said is, if possible, can you tell me if it's still available before I fill out the application? Which I think is a pretty neutral, and you might be saying you're an asshole, but I think it's pretty neutral. Hey, can you tell me if that car is still for sale before I drive over to your house to look at it? That seems pretty reasonable, right? So what I'm saying is that position available before I take the time to fill out all these forms? But it's also like, if you could be on the other side of that and be like, are you trying to be involved with what we're doing, or are you trying to not, right? Because somebody else who wants to be involved would have just filled out the fucking paperwork. So I sent two notes. One, do you have a religious affiliation? And then to a specific person, I said, is the position still available? And you know what they said to me? This is exactly what they said. You might want to turn the volume up so it's super clear. This is what they said. That's what they said, exactly that. Nothing. Silence. Zero. My wife and I use that occasionally when we'll say like, oh, I texted the handyman, and you know what he said? Because he doesn't get back to us right away. I texted the handyman, you know what he said? He said. To us, that's funny. So I'm not volunteering. It's been a week of two inquiries, and I have not volunteered. Well, you know what you should volunteer for is a comedy class where you learn how to make people laugh on a podcast, because you are not doing that today. Well, you're right. But it's Friday, and you know what? I value you. Even if you were like, you know what? We value you too, but this one's not all that strong. What I need to do is just get better. That'll solve my problem. Winter is coming. I hope you have a great winter. I hope you wear a goddamn mask. Also, if you don't like, all right, maskless people, what I would like to make clear, and this is now this is where we'll have some alignment here, podcast listener. Those of us who wear masks, we don't want to fucking wear them either, you dope. We don't want to wear them. And you know what? We don't like that someone's telling us to wear them. That doesn't make us excited. We're not like, oh, thank goodness I can be a weak, cowering, whatever you fucking think we are. We're doing it because it's the smart thing to do. We don't fucking want nobody who wears a mask. You think a nurse who's grinding all day wearing a fucking mask wants to do that? You think my handyman who's grinding outside even wearing a mask wants to be doing that? We don't want to. We're just adhering to what is best for. Everyone has their own reason for doing it. But we're adhering to what is best for the collective. And I know it's insane to do that in the United States of America. And quite frankly, the system doesn't really reward that. Because we're doing it and you're not, and we're just going into, you know, we're coming up on a fucking year of this bullshit. A year. That's incredible. But I want to be clear. We don't want to do it. We don't enjoy it. We want to pull them down below our noses so we can breathe. But we're not fucking idiots. If you're going to put it below your nose, and I know now this is like hack because people have been talking about the below the nose people forever. If you're going to put it below your nose, dude, just take it off. You can't, it's like putting a one leg of a pair of pants on. It doesn't make any sense. I don't know. I don't know if anybody has said that, so I just wanted to put that on into the record that those of us who wear masks don't want to do it. We know, we think it's a pain in the ass too. But we're doing what's best for the collective. And what I don't understand is, who do you think is, this is what I don't understand, of course, I have not really dug into it. Who is winning by telling you to wear, how are you losing by wearing a mask? Is that your, where do you lose? Your individual liberty? Dude, you can walk into a state capitol with a fucking assault weapon. You have plenty of liberty. Who loses? You just don't like to be told anything. Neither do fucking I. I really don't. Anybody who was familiar with me knows I don't like to be fucking told to do anything. Childlike. You know why? I can admit that. I can admit that. I can also admit it. Which is when you become a failed presidential candidate. I admitted it. How much milk do you think Mitt Romney has drank in his life? I don't want to be told what to do either, dude. I don't. But I'm also not such an asshole that I can say fuck you for doing what's best for the collective. The other thing that mesmerizes me is a refusal to believe, to trust expertise. Well, I get it. You know, you're not getting the same story that I am, and we're all getting different information. You can't trust expertise. The little guy, Fauci, I don't know if he's little. He looks little. He could be swole for all I know. He says, wear a fucking mask. I'm not looking at the guy like, okay. The guy looks like he knows if I should wear a mask or not. I don't know, boys. If you're having sex with someone, let's say you're a man who doesn't wear a mask, and you're having sex with a woman because no gay guy is not going to wear a mask. Also, the middle school, high school in Atlanta, the Grady High School, named after a famous Atlanta racist, Henry Grady, is the students have selected to rename the school. And I think the administrators are going to go along with it. They're taking the name Grady off of it, and they're going to call it Midtown, which is pretty gay. Midtown is not the name of the school. Midtown's the gay neighborhood in Atlanta. You are, what is the population? There's a question, gay listeners. What is the population of gay people? And what is this? It's not. I'm generalizing. I'm expecting more from the gay community. Why? I've been to Blake's. Blake's is like New Year's Eve in Atlanta at every hour of every day to my eye. I've been there twice. I had fucking great time. Like, holy shit, it's like 11 o'clock on a Tuesday morning. This is the most fun place in the world. So I don't know what I'm talking about. I expect the gay community to be safer and smarter than the straight community. I was trying to say it was like not racist. It was some ist that I was being. Not homophobic? It's not that, because it's not about gayness. It was about the community. What's the So you're a man, and if you don't wear a mask, you're a straight man. That's what I was trying to say. So you're having sex with a woman, and she tells you that you're to do it differently. To do it differently, to bring her more, to bring the collective more pleasure and satisfaction. Then what do you do? What do you do? Do you say, fuck that, you can't tell me what to do? And you just power your way through? Or maybe she's like, power your way through, and you're like, no, I'm a sensual mask. I'm the guy who doesn't wear a mask but is tremendously sensual and very in touch with your body. Now, I didn't mean to think about this, but do you ever stop and consider the sex actions, not the sex lives, the sex actions of people who don't wear masks? Fucking probably pretty, it's like monster truck in the bedroom. I don't know. But the expert is saying, do this. What are you doing, sir, in that moment? Are you saying, well, Tammy, nobody can tell me what to do. She's saying, well, this is what's best. This is literally, no one more than Tammy knows what is best in that situation. So why wouldn't you just fucking believe her? Well, Tammy doesn't work for the deep state. Yeah, but you're also going to be unemployed if you don't listen to her. So maybe pay attention to the expert. I get institutional distrust. I get it. I distrust institutions. All they're saying is wear a fucking mask. The New York Times had an article, new fake news, I know. They had a little morning briefing that said, here's what you have to do this holiday season when it's going to be fucking brutal. Don't go inside. Okay. Sorry, homeless people, but you're fucked. Don't go inside. If you're inside, wear a mask. And then try not to spend more time inside. And if you're going to do that, wear a mask. And even then, try to get the fuck back outside or away from other people. I should have, this is, you would call this atheoretical. There's not a lot of direction to this podcast today. I understand that. There's more in the sex actions of people who don't wear masks. But I'm going to have to revisit that. Here's what happened, I think, this week. I have tried to record these only. I don't like fucking. Dude, you know, no one likes to be told what to do less than I do. I love my daughter. And I love being a parent. I mean, and I'm a good dad, you know why? Because I'm just around. That's all I have to do. I'm around. You know what I hate? The one thing that I hate about being a parent. And it's not changing diapers. I have a bad gag reflex. I don't know if I've mentioned this. Like smell of shit and puke. Like an evolved human being, by the way. You should be like, ugh, get that away from me and do not put it in my body. But when you have maybe because it's your own DNA or your own whatever, like my daughter's diapers, and also we don't give her McDonald's. Maybe that causes worse diapers, but I've never really changed a diaper. That would be fucking great. It turns out that I really don't have a gag reflex because I let the women change all the diapers. I change diapers like a fucking monster. Yeah, and I get in there and I get it clean. And I put Aquaphor on it, and I wrap it back up tight, all the while fighting this little squirming wild frog who's muscular and trying to say, oh, you have a call starting in 5 minutes? Well, let me challenge you to get this diaper on me, and then my pants back on me, and then my socks, and then my shoes. But I don't mind the smell of shit at all, my daughters. I mean, I'm not in there like, no. This is like Robert Duvall in Apocalypse Now. Not at all. But it doesn't bother me. What I do fucking hate about being a parent is all the times I have to tell her no. That's honest. Well, why? You don't need to say that. You're not a fucking Mormon. That's what I don't like about being a parent. I don't like saying no. Don't do that. Sweetie, no. Gotta be careful. Cuidado. Watch yourself. No. Hey, stop. And I totally get it. But at the same time, as you guys fucking worship, you people, motherfuckers who don't like to wear masks, you worship everybody that tells everybody else what to do. You are the fucking law and order society, unless I'm missing something. But I feel like the maskless proud American whatever cops telling people what to do. Law and order, suburban strategy, safety, safety, safety. I feel like you're all the one in the fucking same. So if you're going to bow down to the fucking Blue Lives Matter, put on a fucking mask. Because Blue Lives is about, I don't know what it's about. It's about, this is not what I want to talk about. I'm not trying, this needs a little more delicacy and thought and care. But if you're about law and order and enforcing codes, then fucking wear a mask. I don't like, all right, here's what I was going to say. I was going to say, the podcast, I've been trying to record in the morning. But my time in the morning is very limited. And so, for me to be in that sweet space that I like, that hopefully, that people seem to like, I'm grateful for that. Thank you. I just said at the top, I value you. I need to find other sweet spots. And what really what I need to do is I need to figure out a way to not have the day. I need to have the whole day and then come into the basement, depressurize, get into the space, and then be able to record in the evening time too, because I think that would be better. What has happened today, if I can Monday morning quarterback my own performance here, I think I felt, I knew this one morning was coming up, I felt a pressure to get it right. And probably that was, that added a bit of artificialness to it. Not artificialness, but parameter, as opposed to just fucking airing it out. So I have to find the other time. That's a pretty soft conclusion. I'm grateful that you listen to this program. And nobody wants to be told what to do. That's the truth.